Amen. Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us worshiping God and praising His name. I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. You're not going to stop me from saying it. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. And I'm excited that we get to be together. And I'm excited about what God has done over the last couple weeks. Last week, Pastor Rick did a phenomenal job on sharing about Jesus. And I'm going to continue to share about Jesus today. I'll explain more about that in a second. The week before that, Bruce Powell did a phenomenal job preaching for the first time on a Sunday morning. So I'm so honored and privileged to have those people in my life and get to walk with them. My son on the way here this morning said, "Daddy, you haven't preached in so long." I was like, "Buddy, it's been 2 weeks." He's like, "I know, it's a while, isn't it?" It's like, no, it's been great. So I want to continue to walk this question out. What do I believe when I don't know what to believe? What in the world do I believe when I don't know what to believe? So today we're going to be talking all about Jesus, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And how do we walk in the power of the resurrection? You know, whenever we allow for those three things to impact our life, it changes our beliefs. It changes our perspective. It changes the way we see things and the way we walk and the way we conduct our life. Not just that they happened, but what we believe about what happened and how we're going to walk out our belief. His life, His death, His burial, and the resurrection of Jesus changes us. It should mark us, and it helps form our belief. Let's first and foremost read one of the most powerful verses in the Word of God. It's John 14, verse 6. And Jesus says, these are red letters, these are His words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me, to the Father, except through me." No one. No one can get around the fact that Jesus is the conduit to the Father. And you might be sitting there just as I was well over a decade ago, almost two decades ago. What in the world is conduit? What does that even mean? That Jesus is the conduit to the Father. He's the way. I'm not a construction worker. I do not pretend to be a construction. I do not know how to build things. I'm not an electrician. I'm none of those things. I am a laborer, not a skilled one, but I can lift things, I can carry things, and I can give you things that you ask for. Okay? So if you're looking for a laborer, I got you. Or a foreman. I could tell you what to do and quarterback it. But we're not doing it. Okay, here we go. Conduit gets one thing from point A to point B, and it's protected. It's usually used for wiring. You put wiring through conduits so that it's protected from things that may impact it before it gets to its destination. Jesus is the conduit to make sure that you get to the Father, protected, guarded. The things that are outside of Him aren't going to impact you or cut you off or make sure that you lose power. He is the conduit. You're like, "Wow, that's pretty cool. I don't know how to spell conduit, but I can say it now." Listen, He is the way that we can walk in freedom, boldly knowing who He is, and our faith is in His death, His burial, and His resurrection, knowing that He's the way to the Father. If we believe those three things, it'll change us. How many of you played sports as a youth sports? Okay, if you didn't play youth sports, how many of you played sports within gym class in school? Okay, some of the things within sports changed you and marked you. Even organized sports, I'm not going to talk about much right here. But playing pickup sports as a kid, kickball, basketball, football in the backyard, you pick teams. If you were the last person picked, it marked you either in a good way or a negative way. Either you went out like they saved the best for last, or nobody wanted me. It's all about your perspective, right? Or let's go another way. If you didn't play sports, all of us in some time in our life walked into a room where we didn't know where we were going to sit. Some of you did that today. But let's talk about the middle school lunchroom or high school lunchroom. You walk in your first day and you're like, oh, where am I going to sit? Where are my friends? Where's my table? Where am I going to be for the next 180 days? Either it caused you stress or you walked in with, I love this. Look at all these people. No matter what, it marked your belief about something within you. And it conducted the way you walk through things, the way people see you walk through things. And I believe that whenever we have an assurance of who Jesus is and the way that we're walking through life because of the resurrection of what he did on the cross for us, our perspective about everything changes. Our perspective about the One Vision campaign that Rob spoke about changes. Our perspective is joy and generosity and excitement. You know, him saying, expand your tent pegs. That's not just because Rob likes tents. It's because it's the Word of God. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. I don't know about you, but I think there's some ruined cities around us. I don't know about you, but I understand the fact that we're out of space here. How do I know that? There are things being stored in the kitchen right now. You're like, wait a second, there's a kitchen? No, it's more like a break room, okay, that don't belong there because there's no room. The children have no more room to take over. They've taken over every room and closet in this building, okay? That is a great joy, but I don't think you want us to fence in the roof. I don't want to do that as a parent because I know that fences don't work for my son. Dude can climb anything and will. I'm just hoping when I park in the back on Sunday mornings, I'm just praying that he doesn't figure out there's a ladder. But listen, this is great joy that we get to be a part of this. We get to. I haven't been here for 2.5 years, but you're here now and we're looking towards the future. We're preparing for somebody that's not sitting next to you. We're preparing for where God is leading us. North Braddock and Brighton Heights, they're solidified in the buildings that they have. Murraysville and White Oak, we're looking for land, we're looking for buildings, we're looking for whatever we are being led to by God. And we got a free education a couple months ago, to build a building that we're looking at. Building would cost $6.5 million. Guess what we're not looking to do anymore? We have 6.5 million reasons to not build a new building. So guess what we're looking for? A building that we can restore, renovate, and make better. But we're just waiting for God's leading. But there, I think we're being led away from the 6.5 million reasons to not build a new one. Okay? But we want you to be a part of that, because whenever we understand that we needed rescued, and there are other people that still need rescued, it changes us. Not just rescued from the way that we think, not just rescued into a new way or behavior modification, not just rescued from little things, rescued from a sin problem in our life, rescued from addiction, rescued from whatever kept us in bondage and away from God and jumping into the conduit. Sin is our real problem, missing the mark of what we're being aimed to hit. What are we being aimed to hit? Heaven. God. Being in His presence. Rebellion and separation from God is the problem. I'm sorry. A song popped into my head and I need to take it captive. Show me the problem. Yo, I'll solve it. You know, that one? Depravity, separation from God. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Every single one of us is a sinner that's fallen short. And God knew that. He knew that we were all working a job and we were eventually going to get paid for that job. But He gave us a free gift in His Son. Something we didn't earn, we didn't deserve, but He wants us to have it. And that gift, once received, gives us an eternal life. And Jesus didn't just come to give us an alternative lifestyle. He came so that we can walk in the power of His life, His death, and resurrection, to give us a life of freedom and victory and joy. Being rescued is powerful. Everybody tunes in when somebody's getting rescued on TV. I forget the little girl's name, but it was like every TV station had it on when I was a little kid. She was stuck in a well. Do you remember this little girl? I mean, some of you weren't even born yet. It was in the 90s, the late 1900s. I remember the first time a kid said that to me. I wanted... I did. Jessica. Baby Jessica. Yeah. Everybody watched. It was like days. Because they wanted her to be rescued. And she was. I can still close my eyes and see her being lifted out of this. It was a pipe. And there's a fireman being lifted out with her. The joy that you get to be a part of when you see other people get rescued. And there's people watching. Men, I'm going to speak to the men in the room. Because next week's Father's Day, and you may be thinking, you know, I'm not a dad. I want to be a dad. I don't like my dad. I didn't relate well to my dad. I don't know what you feel about Father's Day, but I want to speak to the men. Man, we are called to be rescuers within Jesus' church and celebrate the fact that we are called to help people understand the victory that they get to walk in. When men function as God designed us to function, it is a beautiful, powerful thing. And we want to celebrate that. So much so that we're going to give you cannolis next week. Every guy over the age of 18. Everybody like cannolis? Everybody? You don't like cannolis? Well, we have 180 of them coming. So if you like them, we'll just knock them out. Listen, we prayed and processed what we were going to do for Father's Day for everybody. And we were like, cannolis would be great. And guess what June 16th is, in addition to Father's Day? It is National Cannoli Day. Won't he do it? The bakery that we are purchasing the cannolis from didn't know that. I told them. They're like, we're going to have to prepare. We're closed on Sunday, but we're going to prepare for more cannolis on Saturday. I was like, well, make ours first. Listen, what sets Christianity apart from all other world religions? What does it? Jesus' deity, his death, and his resurrection. Understanding his life, his death, and his resurrection. No one denies that Jesus was a historical figure. Everybody's cool with that. Nobody really denies that he lived and that he died. But the resurrection is the game changer. That tomb was and is empty. That's what people want to debate. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. Listen, there's seven foundational Christian beliefs that we've been going through. And if you believe these and allow for them to form your perspective, it changes you, it marks you. And we're going to talk about two of them significantly today. Number five is going to pop up on the screen behind me, and it's faith in Jesus. And his death, his burial, his resurrection are the only way to the Father. Number six, that Jesus ascended back to heaven to create a place for us. Whenever we know that there is a place prepared for us for eternity, it changes the way that we live our life on earth. Listen, we can possess freedom, joy, and an abundant life on earth because of Jesus. Because of who he is and what he did on the cross. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for you. He defeated sin and death once and for all. Because of the resurrection, it was done. He didn't just play one game against sin and death and won that game. No, he's undefeated forever. And we get to walk in that. And here's the best one. Because of those two things, he delivers us to the Father. There's tracking on you. Those three things are going to pop up behind me, that he died on the cross to pay your price. He defeated sin and death, and he delivers us to the Father. I don't know if you've ever been to the UPS store or FedEx or Kinko's or the post office, but if you want to deliver something with tracking that requires a signature or overnight it, it is expensive. It costs a lot of money. Rachel and I, her old job, she used to work for friends of ours, and they needed to ship a whole bunch of clothing to China, okay? And it was going to cost, it was the middle of the night, we went late because we had a whole bunch of boxes to carry in, and Kinko's is open 24 hours, and we walked in, and the guy said it was going to be like $54,731 or something. Rachel and I about fell over. We're like, yeah, we don't have, see, the way our account's set up, we're like, we don't have clearance to, like, spend that. We're like, are you sure? He's like, he turned the computer screen around. He's like, look. And Rachel looked at me. I looked at her. And we're like, sir, that's in yen. They converted it already. He's like, oh. You're right. It raised a red flag in Rachel's heart and my heart that we weren't going to be able to pay $54,000 to ship some t-shirts. Jesus didn't even bat an eye to pay the cost to deliver you to the Father. And some of the cost was heavy. I think about my life. And the check he probably had to write. He didn't even think about it once. Joy for him to do it. Joy for him to do that for you, for your family, for your friends, for your community, for your coworkers, for those that have yet to come to know him as Savior. Joy, because he wants to deliver us to the Father. Jesus' death on the cross paid the debt we owed because of our sin. We've been redeemed, made righteous, and fully reconciled. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins because for all time he never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring joy, to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins. The righteous died for the unrighteous. The sinless died for the sinful. The obedient for the disobedient. The guiltless for the guilty. And he had not one bit of doubt. Why did he do this? So that we could safely be delivered to God. So that he could be the conduit that protects us and guards us and makes sure that the outside stuff doesn't cut us off from our destination. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Listen, I've said it before, the world will always try to take something that God created and counterfeit it. We are made right. We have divine approval by God now. We have right standing with God now. In God's eyes, we are approved. This word righteous, everybody thinks that it's this big word that I don't want to talk about, I don't want to say, but it means made right. The world tells you, if you're messed up, you better get right. And they tell you to just do you. They try to get you to do all these things to get right. Whether it's a substance or women or men or whatever it may be, that'll get you right. No, that'll get you farther away from what will get you right. That draws you farther away from righteousness to be made right. So many times we make a left turn when we should make a right one. And that's coming from a lefty. That wasn't in my notes. That just came. That was from God. What do I want you to do this week? I want you to understand the sacrifice that was made for you and for me and for others. Last week we read it, but I want you to read it on your own time. Isaiah 53. Read Isaiah 53. Yet it was in our weakness that he carried. He carried every bit of your weakness, your shame, your condemnation. He carried it all. And that's just the first half of the first verse. The last part of verse 12. Now we get to be victorious soldiers walking in the victory. That should be our devotion time every day this week. Understanding that we are called to accept Jesus' sacrifice, to see him on the cross and feel the weight that he carried for our sin, for our shame, and that the wrath of God has been satisfied because of him. The wrath of the Father. Jesus stepped in place of that for us to protect us. There's nothing more beautiful. When I look at Rachel and the way she cares for Lennon as a mom, there's nothing more beautiful. But Lennon, as a 6-year-old little boy, knows that he has Rachel wrapped around his finger. All he needs to do is look up at her with those blue eyes, and she will, most times, melt. But Lennon knows that Dad isn't the same way. And if Dad stands up, Mom sometimes needs to stand in between the wrath of Dad. It's a beautiful image. It gave me a beautiful image of this week. The good news is that it doesn't end here. The wrath was satisfied. He's God's good. We're in good standing. Why? Because Jesus is still sitting at the right hand of the Father pleading our case. We're going to talk more about that. But Romans 3, verses 23 through 25, for everyone has sinned. We have all fallen short of the glorious standard that God set before us. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins, made right, redeemed, released, secured by the payment of our ransom. You were locked up, and he got you out. Another song just entered my head. Akon got out too. Released from the penalty of sin. Romans 3:25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for your sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. You're reconciled. This reconciliation took place. Let's keep going. I know we're really word heavy today, but the word of God should be what forms your beliefs. The Father forms your beliefs. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This reconciliation to change, to reestablish, to have relationships restored. Our perspective is changed. Now, I want to prepare you. There's about to be a picture that pops up on the screen that some of you may not know what two, possibly three, of these items are. Are you prepared? Okay, if I ask a question, some of you may have never heard me ask a question before. I expect an answer. I want you to let me know that you're prepared, or I won't put the picture up. Are you prepared? Okay, here it comes. Okay. Now, it's mostly younger people that aren't going to know what two out of these three things are. This thing in the back here is called a registry book. It goes in your checkbook. Now, a check is an item that you would fill out, and then you sign it to endorse it, and you hand it to a party that you're wishing to pay. And the bank has those funds that backs the check. Okay? The registry book is how you keep track of your funds. We'll get back to that. This stuff in the front here, this is cash. Okay, it's actually paper that you some will carry it in their wallet if you have it. I often don't know what it feels like to carry cash, but if you do, that's what that is. Now, this old-looking thing on the right here, this is a calculator. Now, you have an app on your iPhone that this is, there's one of those on there, but this is an old-school one. Some people still have them. No matter what, all of these things are used to help you reconcile your account. If you reconcile your checkbook or you reconcile your checking account or your savings account, it gives you a fresh perspective. Either I have it or I don't have it. You walk differently. Sometimes if you reconcile your account, you walk even better than you were because you're like, wait a second. I got more than I thought I did. Would you look at that? As a matter of fact, there's a man in this room right now that he reconciled his account one time and he had to go to the bank and question it. They took days and days and days and days to let him know. And we're talking about a significant amount of money. And they're like, sir, we can't find any mistakes. Enjoy your money. Because he didn't reconcile his thing. He just trusted the statements. He was off. He reconciled in his mind. If you don't know what you have and what you've been given, it's going to affect the way you walk. I am here to tell you today, you've been fully reconciled so that you can walk in the power that Jesus is giving you, and your life should be changed because of it, and others should see it. If your account was overflowing with funds, people would know. You ever see that meme? I'm not going to tell anyone that I hit the lottery, but there will be signs. And they're on a horse being pulled by a Lamborghini or something, right? I'm not going to tell anyone, but there will be signs. Reconciling your account and understanding that God's accounting, his team doesn't make mistakes. We know what we've been given, and we know we get to walk it. And here's the significance of understanding it. Jesus' death on the cross allowed for us to be made righteous, made right. Jesus' redemption of us, understanding that the price has been fully paid so that we could be free, that we were bought back, paid for in full, and that we've been reconciled, that God and I are good because Jesus is pleading our case. Freedom from shame, from pain, from guilt, from all condemnation. So what happens if we don't believe? What happens if we don't believe the significance of Jesus' death on the cross? We forfeit all the things that I just talked about. We don't have reconciliation. We don't have redemption. We don't have those things. If we just believe that he is just a historical figure that lived, we're believing in a portion and not receiving all the benefits. That's like having a 401k that you're investing in your whole life and you're like, just keep it. I don't want to draw on it. Doesn't make sense. Jesus defeated sin and death so that we can walk in victory knowing what we have. It's like that meme that everybody's, I know what I have. Make an offer. Don't undercut me. Jesus wants you to know what you have and what you get to walk in. So, how do we walk in it? How do we understand? How do we know? People doubt all the time. People always have doubt in their life. But I want us to understand that there's freedom in everything. Four proofs of the resurrection so that we can walk in the power. Number one, was Jesus really dead? You couldn't survive the beating that he took on your behalf. The blood that was shed. the suffering that took place, the weight that was put upon him on the cross, it was not something that was able to be survived. I won't go into detail, but it was gruesome and not survivable. There were early accounts of the resurrection. The tomb was empty. Jesus wasn't just playing hide and go seek. There were eyewitnesses that saw and encountered Jesus alive and well. There was no CGI back then. If you're wondering what CGI is, there was no computer-generated effects. Why is the resurrection of Jesus important? Because everything rests upon that. That's the full benefit package. What happens if we don't believe? We don't get to fully walk in the forgiven life that we've been given. We don't get to fully walk in understanding we have a meaningful life. We don't get to fully walk in the powerful life that we've been promised. And we don't get to live here on earth understanding that eternity is the result. We're being delivered to the Father. Those four things are going to pop up behind me. And you could take a picture. There's scriptures to back each and every one of them up. But we're not living for here and now. We're living for heaven. And we can start to spend some of our inheritance here and now. God doesn't want us to wait for heaven so that we can walk in joy and in peace and in generosity. He wants us to walk in it now. He doesn't want us to wait for heaven so that we can walk into healing. Well, I haven't been healed. I'm not talking about just physically. I'm talking about mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Let your mind get healed and wait for your body to catch up one day, understanding that you're going to get a new one in heaven anyway. So just run this one till the wheels fall off. Literally. 5 years. 5 years I've been dealing with bone infection after bone infection after bone infection. I'm currently back in the hyperbaric oxygen tube for 30 days. I'm 15 days in. I'm at McKeesport Hospital every single day. I told them, you had 5 years. I was the best patient in the world. I'm going to continue to be the best patient in the world, but I'm not telling my son no anymore. I'm running with him. I'm riding my bike with him. I'm playing. The only thing I won't do is go swimming because I don't know what's in that water. I ain't going. But guess what's happening? I prayed about that. I was obedient. Healing is right there. It's right there. Walk in it before you receive it sometimes. Jesus delivers us eternally to God the Father, the ascension to heaven, and he's coming for us. Acts 1, 9 through 11, he was taken up into a cloud, and while they were watching, they could no longer see him, and they strained to see him rising into heaven. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Preparing and understanding that Jesus is preparing a place for us is a game changer. I love knowing that I have, and my family has, and my close friends have a reservation at the table. I love that. I love knowing that there's been a place prepared for us. But you know what brings pain to me and I lose sleep over it, and I think about it, and I weep over it, and I pray and pray and pray. I know a lot of people that don't have a reservation yet. And I know a lot of people that I told them about the restaurant, and they didn't call. And they're not here anymore. And I don't know if they're at the table. I will do everything short of sin to make sure that everything's left on the field so that every person that I know in my world hears about Jesus and the life-saving power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. Why? Because Jesus is in heaven alive and well, sitting at the right hand of the Father, a position of honor and authority, pleading your case. If you've received him as Lord and Savior, Jesus, God doesn't even see you anymore. He sees Jesus. He doesn't see all your stuff anymore if you've laid it at the foot of the cross. He sees Jesus. I know that Jesus is alive and well in heaven, being the head of the church. It's an honor, a privilege to be placed in a position of authority within the church. But this isn't my church. This isn't my campus. This isn't Pastor Rick's church. We're all placed in positions by Jesus. This is his church, and he's going to grow it no matter what. He's the giver of all spiritual gifts. Everything that you've been given is from him. And everything that is filling your life and the lives of the people around that know him is from him. And he wants you to be filled to an overflowing capacity. He doesn't want you to be at a half tank anymore. Listen, gas is expensive. But Jesus is free. How do you get to an overflowing capacity? Listen, wisdom and knowledge and growing and all that, I love that. I desire that. I want that. But it's all about knowing him. Knowing him and having a growing relationship with him. Understanding the significance of the gifts that he's given you, knowing more about him, not so that you can debate with people or any. Listen, people will debate anything and everything with you. You want to know one thing they can't debate? A changed and transformed life. They can't debate your experiences. They can't debate what you've seen, heard, and experienced. They can't debate that you were one way and now you're different because of him. The significance of eternal life through Jesus. John 3:16-17 sums it up. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him so that we could be back in right standing with the Father. Listen, if you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received him as your Lord and your Savior, where you've repented of your past, received his forgiveness, and asked him to be Lord over your future, I want today to be your day. And you may be thinking, you know, I'm so worried about the person next to me or beside me or in front of me or what they may think. You know what I'm worried about? That you're not promised tomorrow. Or this afternoon. And I want to know that you know where you're going. I'm not talking about for lunch. I'm talking about for eternity. Did you make a reservation? And are you allowing him to change your life here and now for eternity? If you don't have a day, a time, a place, we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to empower you to walk in that. And I'm asking you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do, but one of the greatest things you'll ever do. And that's slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. He's talking to me right now. I need that day. I need to receive you as Lord and Savior. I need to know where I'm going for eternity. And I want that place to be prepared by you. Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. Heaven rejoices with you. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to join? Eternity with Jesus. Father God, we thank you so much for your word in Matthew 6, verses 22 through 23. For your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. If you pull up the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. May we all just live in complete awe of God with a wide-eyed wonder of who he is. All the days of our life. Lord, thank you so much for welcoming your son home today as he's getting prayer for what he responded to do. Rob's going to wrap us up.